You're listening to The Bulletin with UBS, first broadcast on the 1st of November 2015 on Monocle 24. Hello and welcome to The Bulletin with UBS on Monocle 24. Each week we'll be hearing from the sharpest minds and freshest thinkers in the world of finance, taking you beyond the numbers and the hype and getting to the heart of the big issues of the day. Today we look at the global oil market. The price of oil has rallied in recent weeks, but of course we've seen various false dawns for crude producers over 2015, all of which have gone into reverse. Will this time be any different? Let's begin with a look at the current status of the oil market. We hear first from Christopher Swan, cross-asset strategist for UBS Wealth Management.
Basically, over 2015, you've seen a variety of false dawns. So on several occasions, you've had these rallies that have got oil producers and companies very excited. And then as suddenly as they've appeared, they've fizzled. And we saw one of these false dawns over the past few weeks, which has again turned into a much more sober scenario for the oil producers. So the big question is whether oil can really gain some footing over the course of the next few months and into 2016.
Let's turn now to Kevin Allison, a columnist at Reuters Breaking Views.
I'd say that the oil market is stressed. The major crude benchmarks are trading around $43, $45, depending if you look at WTI or Brent. That's way down at the, you know, Brent price at $115 in June of 2014. So we're still at extremely depressed levels for the crude price. And some of the producers are starting to show signs of strain. So ConocoPhillips just came out with earnings that show it's having to cut its spending targets yet again. It's making a net loss. It's continuing to boost its production, but it's not making any money. And I think that the industry has the capacity to stay hunkered down for a while, but I think that a lot of prognosticators are right in thinking that next year could start to see some of these strains and cracks developing into something more serious.
And we now hear the views of Simon Smiles, Chief Investment Officer for UBS's Ultra High Net Worth Division.
On one hand, we're looking at the highest inventories in almost 8 decades, according to the IEA, and obviously the stronger dollar, most recently due to slightly hawkish comments or perceived hawkish comments from the Fed, is another negative for the oil market. The third negative, it remains in surplus with excess supply over demand. However, the size of that surplus has fallen pretty dramatically the last 2 months, you know, from roughly 2 million barrels per day excess supply to a little over 1 million just again in the last 2 months. For now, we think oil, you know, will remain volatile and somewhat under pressure. However, as we move further out and into next year, we think rebalancing forces on both demand and supply side should actually support stronger oil prices.
Of course, we've seen the price of oil rise a number of times in 2015, including a 30% rally in January and a 25% one between March and April. But what accounts for such short-lived increases in price? Giovanni Staunovo is a commodity analyst at UBS Wealth Management. Here's his take on the situation.
Maybe we need to distinguish between the first half of the year, the recovery in oil prices, and the one in the second half of the year. In the first half of the year, it was rather speculative forces pushing up prices in expectation that rather sooner than later supply adjustment will materialize, which at the end of the day didn't, or which came at a later stage, which resulted then in a decline in oil prices. These supply adjustments start to become visible at the moment. U.S. oil supply has peaked in April and since then is on a declining trend, and also non-OPEC supply growth is slowing down. We had a growth of 2.7 million barrel per day in December of last year. We are probably at 0.7 million barrel per day of growth in September, and we will probably contract in December, which makes the fundamental story more supportive this time than in the first half of the year.
Christopher Swan expands on this sentiment.
Fundamentally speaking, the oil market has been oversupplied most of the past year. So it's not been, the market hasn't necessarily been driven by fundamentals. Instead, it's expectations that something is going to change. So one of the indicators that a lot of people in the market have been looking at has been the US rig count. A lot of the glut in oil over the past year has come from the United States, where this very publicized shale boom has been churning out very, very high levels of production increases. And any indication that that's slowing down has got the market a little excited, and perhaps many traders have got ahead of themselves. And I think that explains some of these blips. But the market is driven by a lot of expectations, whether that's expectations that Iran is going to suddenly increase global output quite considerably, which is obviously something that suppresses prices, to expectation that the flood of US oil will subside, or expectations that OPEC, the cartel, will cut supplies. It is a very sentiment-driven market.
And Kevin Allison from Reuters Breaking Views, meanwhile, touches upon the status of shale oil and geopolitical events that might be having an impact.
I think the rally over the summer, in the spring and summer, was the most significant. You saw oil prices bouncing back up towards $60 a barrel. On the belief that because U.S. rigs were being parked and were no longer drilling oil, producers are sort of, they call it the rig count. The rig count was falling, and that the result of this would somehow be tighter market, which would justify a return of higher prices. And it just didn't pan out that way. The shale industry has proved way more resilient than almost everybody expected. The drillers, even though they may be more financially stressed, they're still improving their efficiency, how good they are at drilling wells, how cheaply they can drill wells. And the pace of that improvement, I think, has taken a lot of people by surprise. So after the spring rally, you saw prices crash again in the summer. You've had other things happening in the background as well that are important geopolitically, such as the nuclear deal with Iran. And I think one of the major questions for next year is, will Iranian supply coming back into the market surprise markets yet again?
Still to come on the Bulletin with UBS, we'll look at what the future holds for shale oil in America, and ask if the current oil comeback is for real. One of the big themes in the global energy world in the past few years has been the rise of shale oil in the US. But what does the future hold there? Here's Simon Smiles, Chief Investment Officer for UBS's Ultra High Net Worth Division.
I mean, if you look more broadly at non-OPEC supply adjustments, I mean, they are starting to become visible. Supply increased by almost 3 million barrels per day year on year in December 2014. This is from non-OPEC supply. You look to September 2015 and supply was just growing at non-OPEC supply roughly 0.7 million barrels per day. And on our forecast, it's expected to decline moderately by year end. So there is evidence that, again, the supply coming from non-OPEC, and in particular the US, is starting to moderate.
Giovanni Staunovo expands on this.
What we need to distinguish between conventional oil and shale oil is the steep production curves of shale oil. After 12 months, production is declining by 70%, after 2 years by 80% from the starting point, which requires ongoing drilling activity to keep production stable. And at the moment, with the number of rig counts down by 60% since last October, this is a good indication that at some stage, U.S. shale oil production should continue to decline.
With international conflict on the rise, we ask now how much of a role geopolitics plays when it comes to oil prices. Simon Smiles explains.
Geopolitics, I think, is an element in why we're seeing so much supply from all the producers, be it Russia, be it Middle Eastern producers, etc. I'm not sure its traditional role in terms of providing concern over a supply disruption have necessarily been the drivers this year. Again, geopolitics is ironically playing arguably a role in the excess supply rather than supply disruption.
UBS's Simon Smiles. Let's hear from Kevin Allison from Reuters Breaking Views now.
I think that oil prices in general kind of baked in a kind of geopolitical risk premium. I think, if whether it's Russia or whether it's something else, there's always some kind of geostrategic thing unfolding in the world that's going to cause people to wonder what might happen to oil prices. But I think it's something that's very hard for markets to actually price accurately. I think it's something that a lot of investors will sort of let sit in the back of their mind rather than it being at the forefront of their mind. So I don't think that Russia turning up its intervention in Syria has necessarily been a major factor in the behavior of oil prices.
The million-dollar, or perhaps the trillion-dollar question then, is can we tell if this oil comeback is genuine? And what does the future hold? Let's hear from this week's panel of experts. Christopher Swan, cross-asset strategist for UBS Wealth Management.
Well, on the downside, we should see increased production finally coming through from Iran, which is a very powerful producer, and they could potentially ramp up production pretty quickly. It's not quite clear yet how soon that would come through, but it would be at some point in the first half to the sort of maybe third quarter of next year. So that's one potential factor that could suppress prices, and it remains to be seen how rapidly Iran can ramp up production. On the positive side, the amount of capital that oil companies around the world are devoting to discovering new oil and drilling new wells has been slashed pretty radically this year in response to lower prices. So capital spending overall for 2015 is probably going to be down around about 20%. And that means lower supplies going forward. That's positive for prices. In addition, periods of low prices tend to adjust consumer behavior. So Americans have been buying very gas-guzzling, fuel-intensive sports utility vehicles over and above smaller, more economical cars. So that locks in a higher level of fuel consumption for years to come. In addition, we've seen the driving rates go up in the United States, but also in other countries. So there's both a supply response with supply growth declining, and also a demand response with consumers using more oil and gasoline.
Here's Simon Smiles, Chief Investment Officer for Ultra High Net Worth at UBS.
In the near term, very near term, likely the main challenge. However, on a 6 or 12 month basis, we do think oil is likely to appreciate from here. Again, particularly non-OPEC supply starting to level off. And when you combine that with growth in demand coming through next year in the order of, on our estimates, 1.3 million barrels per day, you should very quickly see the supply imbalance that we have today level off and the market move into a balance. So at least on our numbers, you know, our expectations are for oil price to move higher on a six-month basis. We have a $60 per barrel Brent oil price. However, the futures curve and elevated volatility actually make it relatively difficult to make direct oil investments here today. So to play this more bullish view on oil, you know, we're looking more at energy equities where valuations and dividends potentially are attractive.
Giovanni Staunovo, commodity analyst at UBS Wealth Management.
I would say it's based on better fundamentals. What we have seen in recent weeks is that the latest oil recovery has reversed again, being that the market is still oversupplied. But at least what we are seeing is fundamentals in the oil market are lining up to become more price supportive.
And finally, Kevin Allison from Reuters Breaking Views.
I think another big question is what ultimately comes out of this Paris climate meeting in December. There seems to be gathering momentum for actually putting together a global agreement about climate change. And it's very hard to predict what that agreement might look like, whether it might have teeth. But I think that for the oil companies who are already suffering from this real big drop in the oil price, and prices that, let's face it, they've stayed lower for way longer than almost any oil company was predicting going into this year. And I think that there's a good chance they'll stay low next year. I'm interested personally in what happens if you come out of Paris with a strong climate agreement. What will happen to, say, the market valuations of these oil companies? And it's a question I don't quite have the answer to, but I'm interested in watching it as it unfolds.
And that was Kevin Allison bringing us to the end of this 56th edition of The Bulletin with UBS, setting the agenda in the fast-moving world of finance every week here on Monocle 24. Listen again and find out more at monocle.com or catch up via iTunes or SoundCloud. The Bulletin with UBS on Monocle 24.